Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is Psachim Ayin Ches. I'm going to start with the second line in Ayin Ches, Amud Aleph, where the Gemara wants to clarify if our Mishnah is also like Rabbi Yossi, who says that the tzitz is not meratze on achilos. Right? We talked about in yesterday's daf about the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, just the fact that he's worried. Oh, is whether he's wearing, whether he's not wearing a tzitz, if there is a tzitz, so that somehow serve as ritzui, to serve as, even if, let's say, the korban might be tamei, does the fact that you have a tzitz, does that work to sort of make the korban valid and serve as a kapara? And will that also allow you to eat the korban as well? Two different issues. One is there ritzui for the korban? In other words, does it serve as a kapara? Is it a tobin? And secondly, whether it would allow you to eat it if otherwise, let's say, it's tamei. So Gemara says, name of my season, look, Rabbi Yossi. Let's say our Mishnah that says that the korbanos that have a fixed time, that you bring them betuma, that's not like Rabbi Yossi, Tanya. Rabbi Lezer says, it's maratza al achilos. Rabbi Lezer says that the tzitz is maratza, serves to serve as, quote-unquote, an appeasement, even for the part that is eaten from a korban. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, ein hatzitz maratza al achilos. That the tzitz is not meratz on the achilos. In other words, the tzitz only serves, the value of the tzitz is that if you have a korban that's tameh, plus you have the tzitz, so then it can be offered on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, kosat de'aitin midat kamar Rabbi Yossi and tzitz meratz al achilos, since you might think that since Rabbi Yossi says that the tzitz does not serve as a ritzui for the eating, so he's like Rabbi Yeshua severely. He holds like Rabbi Yeshua, the Amar bo'inan tarte, that because Rabbi Yeshua says what, that you require for korban to be kasher, you require two things. Number one, you require that the meat and the blood are fit for korban, and because if not, so who cares if this is maratza on the achila or not? If you need both, you need both. So name a hashta. So therefore, let us say that now that we're saying that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Yeshua, masnisin de lo k'Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that there are five korbanos that you could bring betuba. And with these korbanos, since the tzitz is not meratze on the ochlim, the meat is not fit to be eaten. And nevertheless, in these, our Mishnah said what? Our Mishnah said that there are five korbanos that you can bring as a korban, but you cannot eat the meat. So therefore, this must not follow. Right, so therefore, and our Mishnah says, but nevertheless, you can sprinkle the blood. So the assumption here is that since you're allowed to do Zrikas Adam, and if Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Yoshua, that you need both the blood and the meat to be good, so then you should not be allowed to sprinkle the blood if you're not allowed to eat the meat. So the Gemara says, "Lo, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lezer, Sfir Le Da'amar, Dam Afopi Shein Habasar." So remember, we yesterday there was a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. According to Rabbi Yoshua, you can't eat the meat without sprinkling the blood. You can't sprinkle the blood without eating the meat. And Rabbi Lezer says you can have one without the other. So maybe Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Eliezer. And he holds a Rabbi Eliezer, and then he could hold like our Mishnah. Because what does our Mishnah say? The Mishnah says you can do this Zrikas Adam, you can do the sprinkling of the blood, even though you cannot eat the meat. So that's perfectly like Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, Yihachi lamai hilchasa ina tis meratze al achilos. So then, if Rabbi Yossi holds a Rabbi Eliezer, that you don't need both of them, so what's this halacha about ain tis meratze al achilos? What does it come to teach us, this halacha? But the Gemara now says, v'litameich, according to your reasoning, if you do zrikas hadam, even when the meat is not fit for eating, then who cares if the tzitz is meratza al achilos or not? Because Rabbi Eliezer da Amar tzitz meratza. Rabbi Eliezer says that the tzitz is meratza on the achilos. Kevan da Amar dam afal pi she'en basar ha tzitz meratza al achilos l'may hilvasa. According to Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can do zrikas hadam even if the meat is not fit for eating. So what then, regarding what halacha is the tzitz meratza lachilos? Like, why is he saying this? Even if the tzitz is not meratza alachilos, then for Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't make a difference. In other words, if the tzitz is not meratza lachilos, he would still say, oh, you can still do zrika sadam. So what is this? What is this halacha of ein tzitz meratza lachilos? What practical difference does it make? So the Gemara says, Ela lemikve e bepigul. So Rabbi Eliezer and Yossi do not argue whether the tzitz is meratza al nechilos regarding a korban that the meat became tameh. They both agree that if the meat became tameh, you shechted an animal, the meat became tameh. So they both agree that you can do zrika sadam. Why can you do zrika sadam? Because they hold that you can do dam afal pi she'en basar. You can do zrika sadam even if the meat is not fit for eating. So regarding what halacha do we say that the tzitz is meratza al the tzitz is meratza? So that's lemikve bepigol. That let's say if the Kohen is thinking when he's bringing the blood or when he's sprinkling the blood, that he's going to do one of the avodos of the korban at the wrong time, or that he's going to then it will be pigul, and if you eat the korban, the meat, then you'll get koris. La fuke mide meila kamiflagi. And also, it comes to remove. So that's one halacha. So the fact that the tzitz is meratza lachilos tells you what that the halacha would be, that it would be subject to the rule of pigul. And secondly, it's to exclude the meat from the status of meila when you sprinkle the blood. So that's also what they argue, because the prohibition of pigul does not apply to the meat. Unless there's no other psul. In other words, the halacha pigul, that if you have the wrong intentions when you do one of the avodos of the korban, then if you eat your chayv kares, that only applies if the korban is otherwise totally fit to be brought as a korban. So we're saying here is that if you have the tzitz. So if you say that the tzitz is meratza lachilos, so then you would say if the korban, even though the korban became tameh, and you definitely could sprinkle the blood according to Rabbi Eliezer, but also be subject to pigul. Now, and also would not lose the status of me'ila if you sprinkle the blood unless it is tahor. In other words, zrikas hadam permits because the meat can now be eaten to the Kohanim, but if the meat is tameh and therefore it's not permitted to the Kohanim, then it still has a status of me'ila. Okay? In other words, once you do zrikas hadam, once you sprinkle the blood, so then if the Kohen eats the meat, or let's say you derive benefit, you take the meat and you derive benefit from the meat, you're no longer subject to me'ila. If you shechted the animal, then you use the meat for other purposes, so then you would violate me'ila. So what he's saying here is that's also a question, whether it loses the status as me'ila. So now we're going to see. Rabbi Eliezer Sava, Rabbi Eliezer holds, meratza tzitz ilave, the tzitz is meratza on the meat that was the meat of the korban that's to be eaten by a person, umishave le ketahor, and it's viewed as if it's tahor, that even though you can't eat it, that is, even though you cannot eat the meat, but the tzitz is meratze such that it's kavale bepigul. It would be subject to pigul, and also mapikle mide meila. And also, if you do zrikas adam, the meat is no longer subject to meila. Rabbi Yossi, son Yossi, holds lo meratze tzitz ilave, that the tzitz does not serve as ritzui on the meat, velo mishavele ketahor, and it's not considered tahor, velo kavale bepigol, velo mapale mide meila, and therefore it's not subject to pigol, it's not subject to meila. So it's not correct to say that when you say is the tzitz meratze on the achilos, that means only is it permitted to be eaten or not permitted to be eaten. Even if the meat is otherwise not permitted to be eaten, you can still take the view that if you have it sits, so then it does have two ramifications. Number one is that the prohibition of pigul will be subject to the korban. And secondly, that it loses its status as me'ilo once there is zrikas adam. So now maskif la, therefore our Mishnah, which says that you can bring korbanos tzibur bituma, that could fit with Rabbi Yossi's position, right? In other words, and therefore Rabbi Yossi could hold like Rabbi Eliezer that even if there is dam, even when you're sprinkling the blood, you can't eat the meat, but still the tzitz is meratzah for these other purposes. So the Mishnah can follow Rabbi Yossi. That was our initial question. Maskifla Rav Mari, Nihi Nami de Rabbi Yossi, Savar Karabi Eliezer. Fine. Maybe you can say Rabbi Yossi holds that the tzitz is not meratzah nachilos, and he holds like Rabbi Eliezer that you can sprinkle the blood even when the meat is not fit. Nevertheless, the Mishnah would not necessarily fit with Rabbi Yossi's position. Why? Bishlama Zvachim Ikadam, Omer Nami Ika Komet. Lechem aponim nami ika bozichim, ella shtei halecha ma'ika lemeimar. So, I understand that if you have animals that are shechted as a korban, that you can bring them betuma, even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that tzitz halacha lemai said Rabbi Yossi say doesn't hold that tzitz is not meratze. So I understand that the Mishnah can follow Rabbi Yossi in the case of shechting a korban, where you say that tzitz is not meratza on the ochlim, because there's blood, right? That the that there is blood, that the tzitz is right. That if there that, and therefore you can bring it betuma, you can sprinkle the blood betuma, and also the omer can be brought betuma, because there's also a part that goes on the mizbeach. And the tzitz would be meratze, and that would be the komets, the komets that's burnt, and lechem aponim. There's also a part that goes on the mizbeach that the tzitz would theoretically be meratze on it, and that would be the frankincense, the lavona. So you have certain things that are brought on the mizbeach when it comes to the meat korban, when it comes to the omer, when it comes to the lechem aponim. But when it comes to the shtei halachem that you bring betuma, so how can you explain this Mishnah according to Rabbi Yossi? Because there's nothing that's brought on the mizbeach. The shtei halachem is completely consumed by the kohanim. And since Rabbi Yossi holds that the tzitz is not meratze on the achilos, so then the tzitz is not meratze on the lechem haponim. So with respect to all these other three cases, I understand Rav Yossi saying that the tzitz is meratza to the, I'm sorry, I can understand what the other three cases to say, even though the tzitz is not meratza on the achilos, you can bring the korban because you can do the sprinklings, because adam. You can bring the omer because you can take the komets, the handful from the komet, and you can burn that on his back. I understand the lechem aponim, that even though you can't eat the lechem aponim because it's tamei, you can still burn the frankincense on the mizbeach. But the shtei halechem, how can that be? The Mishnah says the lechem aponim can be brought bituma. How can the lechem aponim be brought bituma? According to Rabbi Yossi, the tzitz is not meratze on the achilo, so you can't eat the lechem aponim. So there's nothing you can do with the lechem aparim because there's nothing that's brought on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says,
Shtei halecha, not the lechem aparim.
I'm sorry, you're right. Shtei halecha. So the Gemara wants to answer, v'chi teiman, if you want to say that when the Mishnah says the shtei halechem are brought betumah, then it doesn't mean the shtei halechem that's brought by themselves without the sheep. Because, right, you bring, what do you bring on Shavuos? You bring the two loaves of bread plus the sheep. The sheep for the shlamim, the kvasim. So maybe lekarev imahem. Maybe it's saying that the when you shech the sheep, so then you can bring then you bring the lechem, and the sprinkling of the blood of the zrikas adam by the sheep permits the bread ba'achila, and therefore you can bring them betuma even according to Rav Yossi, because the tzitz is meratze on the blood of the sheep. So maybe that's why you can bring the shtei lechem. So the Gemara says that can't be true, because hainu shalmei tzibur. The Mishnah already said that you can bring the shalmei tzibur. Im kein havu lahu arba va'anan chamisha tanan. Because we already mentioned that the shalmei tzibur can be brought between the Mishnah, and therefore there would be a total of four things. Because the Shalmei Tzibur and the Shtei Lechem is really one. If we're saying that when you do Zrikas Hadam, so then you can bring the, then that the Zrikas Hadam allow the Lechem to be brought, so that's part of Shalmei Tzibur. And we mentioned there are five separate things that are brought Betuma. So therefore the Shtei Lechem are brought by themselves. And therefore the question, even without the sheep, the Shalmei Kvasim, the Shalmei Tzibur. So then the question again is that it seems that our Mishnah does not fit with Rav Yossi, because Rav Yossi says that the tzitz is not meratze on the ochlim. So Ella, the Gemara wants to say, kasar Rav Yossi tuma hutra bitzibor. So Rav Yossi must hold that tuma is completely permitted bitzibor, and it's not only dechuya, and we don't need the tzitz to bring it bituma. And therefore, even though the tzitz is not meratze on the achilos, the two loaves of bread are bought betuma. In other words, even though you cannot eat it, if you hold tuma hutra betzibor, so therefore you can always bring any korban, even if, for example, you can't eat it. Avaha tanya, but we hold, we'll learn a braisa, but regarding a kohen who burns the paraduma, and the kohen gadol, before Yom Kippur, they would separate them from their houses 7 days in a room that was in Lishka in the base of Mikdash. Echad zev. Whether we talk about the kohen who burns the paradum, whether we talk about the kohen gadol who does the avodah Yom Kippurim, the Mishnah says that the Braisa says mazin alav kol shiva mikol chataos shehayu sham, that they would sprinkle every day on the 7 days that he would separate from his house from the ashes of the paraduma that were there to make him tahor, in case that maybe he became tamei and he didn't know. Divrei Rameir, this is what Rameir says. Rabbi Yosef says, Ein mazim alav ela shlishi v'shvi bilvad. We only sprinkle the third and the seventh day. So v'isol kadaitach. So bottom line is that Rav Yossi, normally speaking, by the way, is that you only, that if someone becomes tameh, you sprinkle them the third and the seventh day. So Rav Meir says that since you don't know when he might have become tameh, so we sprinkle them every day. And Rav says no, only the third and the seventh. But bottom line is that Rav Yossi holds that you need to sprinkle the ash of the paraduma on the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur. V'isoko daita kasav Rav Yossi tumah hutra betzibor lomali azal klal. If you hold the tumah hutra betzibor, why do you need to sprinkle on the Kohen Gadol? Because the korbanos Yom Kippurim are korbanos tzibor, and since tumah hutra betzibor, why do you need to be machmir, stringent, to sprinkle the ashes of the paraduma? It's hutra betzibor. So therefore, Rav Yossi must hold tumah hutra betzibor. So ella machavarta masis in the loka of Yossi. So therefore, Yossi must not hold tumah hutra betzibor, and therefore the initial answer was better, which is what, that according to Rav Yossi, since the tzitz is not meratze on the achilos. And with the shtei halachem, there's nothing that's brought on the mizbeach, so therefore the tzitz is not meratze on them. According to Rav Yossi, the shtei halachem would not be brought bitumah, and therefore the Mishnah, which says that the shtei halachem is brought bitumah, would be against Rav Yossi's position. Okay, the Gemara now wants to clarify Rav Yossi's position in the Braisa about the debate between Rav Yeshua and Rav Elazar. If you do Zrikas Adam when there isn't meat that is fit to be eaten, let's say it became Tameh, and also, let's say, burning the komets when the rest of the flour of a mincha offering is also not fit, let's say it became Tameh. So Omar Le, Rav Papa Labai, Rav Papa said to Abai, Rav Yossi Shtara Mizaki Lebei Trehu. Is the opinion of Rav Yossi like a shtar, like a document that provides the rights to the Toveya and the Nitba, the plaintiff and the defendant as one? In other words, how could Rav Yossi agree to two opinions which seem to contradict each other? What are these two opinions? The Tanya, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, "Ro ani as divrei Rav Elazar b'zvachim, v'divrei Rav Yeshua b'zvachim, v'divrei Rav Elazar b'menachos, v'divrei Rav Yeshua b'menachos." Rav Yosef says, "I see the opinion of Rav Elazar by zvachim, Rav Yeshua by zvachim, and Rav Elazar b'menachos, and Rav Yeshua with menachos." So the Braisa explains what he's saying is the following: Divrei Rav Elazar b'zvachim, I see the opinion of Rav Elazar when it comes to the meat sacrifices. Shay Omer Adam Alpha Bishain Basar, that you can do Zrikas Adam even if the meat is not fit. Let's say the meat became Tame. And I can also see Divrei Rav Yeshua Bizvachim. I can also understand the opinion of Rav Yeshua by the meat sacrifices. Shay Omer Min Dam Ein Basar. Rav Yeshua says, if there's no blood that's fit, the blood became Tame or was spilled out, that the meat cannot be brought. And Imein Basar Ein Dam. And if the meat is not fit, so you can't do Zrikas Adam. And Divrei Rav Elazar b'Menachos, I can also see the opinion of Rav Elazar by the flour offerings. Shaya Omer Al Pi She'ein Sham Shirayim. I'm sorry, She'ein Shahay Omer Komets Al Pi She'ein Sham Shirayim. That he says you would burn the fistful or the handful from the flour offering, even though the rest of the flour is not fit for eating to the Kohanim. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Menachos, and I can understand the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua by Menachos Shehoya Omer, because he would say, Im ein sham shirayim, ein komet. Rabbi Yeshua would say, no, one's dependent on the other. And im ein komet, ein shirayim. So Rabbi Papa says, I don't understand. We already saw this in yesterday's daf. Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, I understand both opinions. How can you understand both opinions? You have to pick one or the other. So Amar Lei, Abaye said back to him, Rabbi Yossi is saying that he's not saying that, oh, I agree with both opinions. He's simply saying Mistaba Kamar. He's saying that it makes sense that they argue both in the case of meat sacrifices by Zvachim and also in the case of Menachos, flour offerings. Ki koi bizvachim. Amar Mistaba ki hechidi pligi bizvachim pligi nabi Menachos. When Rav Yose was discussing, was teaching the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yose lived much later than Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. So he said that, oh, it makes sense. It's just like they argue in the case of the Zvachim, the meat sacrifices, they also argue in the case of the flour sacrifice, the Menachos. And Koi b'Menachos, Amar Mistar Ki'echad Pligi b'Menachos, Pligi Nami b'Zvachim. And when he was discussing their debate, when it came to the Menachos, he said, yeah, it also makes sense that they argue in the case of Zvachim. Amar Le, Rav Yossi is back to Abaye, Hatinach. Okay, I can understand what Rav Yossi says, Ki Koi b'Zvachim, Amar Mistar Ki'echad Pligi b'Zvachim, Pligi Nami b'Menachos. I understand him saying that when he's discussing the meat sacrifices, for him to say, yeah, it's logical. They just like they argue by the meat sacrifice. They argue also by the flour offering, by the menachos. Why the ikar kira'e? Because the psukim, which are the source for this halacha, kiksive bizvachim ksive. Because when the Torah talks about the debate between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua about whether you can do zrikas hadam when the meat is not fit for sacrifice. So that is said in the context of meat sacrifices. So it makes sense that Rabbi Yeshua, let's see, he's learning the parsha, and he's learning these psukim, dealing with zvachim, dealing with meat sacrifices, and he sees, he learns about the debate between Rishu and Melazar, and he says, oh yeah, just like they argue in the case of zvachim, they also argue in the case of menachos. That makes sense. However, he says, Ela ki kai b'menachos. However, when it comes to menachos, that to say that he was learning menachos, Amar mistaber ki echid plig menachos pili nagav bizvachim, vaikar kai bizvachim nixivi. What does it make sense? Oh, when he's learning menachos, he's saying, oh, just like they argue menachos, they argue in zvachim. It doesn't make sense because it doesn't make sense that he'd be learning that. He'd be learning. What are we learning? He's learning the psukim. The psukim are talking about what? The zvachim, the meat sacrifices. So why does Rav Yossi have to say the second half? Elo kasha. Rather, it's not a question. This is what he wants to say. Roa ani as divrei Belezer benitma, the divrei Rav Yeshua ba'avud v'sarav. So rather, he's saying like this. I understand the opinion of Belezer if the meat of the korban or the other part of the mincha that's not burnt on the mizbeach became tame, because that makes sense that the blood should be sprinkled or the flour, you know, the komet should be burnt, because the meat and the shirayim should not prevent if it became tame, should not prevent the zrikas adam or the shirayim to be the komet to be burnt if the basar, the shirayim, became tame. The divrei Rabbi Yeshua ba'avud v'sarav. However, I agree more with Rabbi Yeshua's position. If the meat or the shirayim became completely destroyed, then I think it makes sense that you shouldn't do zrikas adam. So he actually says, what he's really saying is, I don't agree with either one, or I agree with either. I agree with Rabbi Eliezer in the case of Tuma, and I agree with Rabbi Yeshua's rationale in the case of avud v'sarav. Now Gemara is going to say, wait a second, but these are my time rishum demaratzei atzitz. He says, if you want to distinguish between Tuma and when it was destroyed or lost, why by Tuma would you say that the meat and the shirayim are not ma'akev? That's because the tzitz is maratze. Hashemat later Yossi damar in tzitz maratze al-achilos. Remember Rabbi Yossi, we just got through saying, Rabbi Yossi says that the tzitz is not maratze. So if you want to say the difference between nitma and saruf, that if the meat was completely destroyed, okay, I understand that you can't bring the that you can't do zrikas adam. If it was tameh, so the only possible rationale that you would have to rehabilitate this korban so you can do zrikas adam is to say that the tzitz is maratzeh. The fact the kohen gadol has a tzitz, so that serves, that will allow you to sprinkle the blood to achieve kapara for the korban. And Rav Yosef, we just got through saying, holds that the tzitz is not maratzeh. So that's not good. So ela lo kasha. What's another way of trying to understand Rav Yossi's explanation here? Ronis di Rav Elazar b'tzibur, ronis di Rav Yeshua b'yachid. That I agree with Rav Elazar's position when it came to the korban tzibur. In the case of a korban tzibur, so there I would say, do the zrikas adam, burn the komets. Guys, we're talking about korban tzibur. That's more chamor. You have to bring the korban. Ronis di Rav Yeshua b'korban b'yachid. But however, in korban yachid, if the meat or the shirayim became tameh, then you don't do zrikas adam. Why is that? Tzibur my time. Mishum tuma hutra b'tzibur. Maybe you're going to say the reason is because tuma is permitted b'tzibur. Chada d'shamat l'Rabbi Yossi d'amar tuma d'chuyah b'tzibur. So that can't be because Rabbi Yossi holds this d'chuyah. It's not hutra. V'od e b'tzibur, Rabbi Lezer Machshir v'lo Rabbi Yeshua. And if you actually want to say that Rabbi Yossi says Rabbi Elazar makes sense, the tzibur, so what's he saying? That only Rabbi Eliezer allows it and not Rabbi Yoshua? Is that true? Ha amrat, the tzibur afil Rabbi Yoshua molde. We said that the very first line of Ayin Chesem and Aleph, I started from the second line today, in the very first line, Rabbi Yoshua agrees that you can do zrikas adam when the basar became tameh when it comes to Korban Sibor. So there's no debate in that case. So we're trying again. Ella Roani Divrei Rabbi Elazar B'Dieved Divrei Rabbi Yeshua L'Chatchila. So rather what? He says like this. I hold like Rabbi Elazar B'Dieved that B'Dieved, if the meat became Tameh, you can still do Zrikas Adam. But I hold like Rabbi Yeshua L'Chatchila that L'Chatchila you shouldn't do Zrikas Adam when the meat became Tameh. Gemara says, but wait a second. The Avad Afir Rabbi Yeshua Nami Modehu the Katani Rishul Shiim Zara Kurza. No, Rabbi Yeshua holds even Bidiyevet. If the meat became tummy, you can do this because of dam. So what do you mean you hold Rabbi Lezer Bidiyevet? Rabbi Yeshua himself holds Bidiyevet, it's permitted. So the Gemara finally answers, Ha Bituma Ha Ba'avud Visaruf. So he says the following. When Rabbi Yeshua says that it's mutter b'di'eved to that if you brought the that if you did zrika sadam, then the korban achieved kapara. So that's only when the korban became when the meat became tameh. Ha be'avu v'sarif. However, Rabbi Yossi said his opinion that about the difference between Rabbi Elazar versus Rabbi Yeshua in a case where the meat was lost or burnt and it's not in front of us. So now, ki katani mo de Rabbi Yeshua shim zara kurtza binitma avav avud v'saruf lo. Rabbi Yeshua only says b'di'evet that the korban is valid after zrika sadam if the meat became tameh. But if it was destroyed, then Rabbi Yeshua would say that b'di'evet, the korban is not kosher. So ki kamar Rav Yossi, ro'an esti Rabbi Elazar, b'di'evet, be'avud b'saruf. Okay, so we finally got the answer. That when at the end of the day, Rav Yossi says, I see the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and I also see the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. What case are we talking about? So he's saying, Rabbi Yossi is saying, in a case where the animal became lost or burnt, became destroyed or burnt, in after you shechted the animal, and then the animal somehow got lost or was destroyed. You don't have the animal in front of us. Can you do Zrika Sadam? Rabbi Yossi says, L'chatchila, follow Rabbi Yeshua, you should not do Zrika Sadam. After, but let's say you did it, did you achieve Kapara? B'di'evet, I hold like Rabbi Eliezer, that you, it does achieve Kapara. Okay, next Mishnah. So the prior Mishnah explained that by a Korban Sibor that is Tameh, so there's a difference between Korban Pesach and other Korbanos, that all of the Korbanos are not eaten when they are Betuma, and Korban Pesach is eaten Betuma. Why? Because most of the Korbanos, the main thing is the Zrika Sadam, and they're not for the purpose of eating, but when it comes to Korban Pesach, that is for the purpose of eating. Our Mishnah is going to bring another halacha that distinguishes Korban Pesach from other korbanos. So what is that? So just a little brief introduction. So one of the halachas of Korban is that you have to do Zrika Sadam on the Mizbeach, you have to sprinkle the blood, and that allows the meat to be eaten, and it allows the limbs to be burnt. So you can't eat. Right. Sometimes you have some of the meat is eaten and some of the meat is burnt. So you can only do the eating and the burning after Zrikas Hadam. Now, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua have a debate. According to Rabbi Elazar, you can do Zrikas Hadam even though the meat is non-existent. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, you cannot do Zrikas Hadam. Okay. Now, let's say you have basar and chelev. Right, so let's say the chelev is burnt on the mizbeach, and the meat is eaten by the kohanim or by the Yisrael, depending on the korban. So even Rabbi Yeshua, who says that if there's no meat, the meat became tameh, you cannot do zrika sadam. So he would say that if only the basar or the chelev became tameh, and the other type is tahor, then you are allowed to do Zrika Sadam. So our Mishnah is now going to explain that if one of these, the basar or the chayla, became tameh, korban pesach is different from other korbanos. So the Mishnah says, nitma basar v'chaylev kayam. Let's say the basar of the meat of the korban pesach became tameh, and the chaylev is good. Eino zorekas adam. You cannot do zrikas adam, because the main part of the korban pesach is to eat, and since the basar became tameh, so therefore it's not fit for a korban pesach, and therefore you cannot do zrikas adam. Nitma chaylev basar kayam. But if the chaylev became tameh and the meat is good, zorekas adam, you do zrikas adam. Uva mukdashim, but other korbanos enikim, that's not the case. Ela afal pi shenitma basar, even though the basar became tameh, v'chaylev kayam, and the chaylev is good, zorekas adam, everyone, even Rabbi Yeshua, would hold that you can do zrikas adam, because the main thing is not for the eating, unlike the korban pesach. Omar Gido Marav. Rav Gido says, name of Rav, that even the right im zarak hurtza, if you did zrikas hadam, then you achieve kapara, and you don't have to do pesach sheni. In other words, if the meat of the korban pesach became tameh, and therefore what do we say? That you're not allowed to do zrikas hadam. If you did zrikas hadam, you achieve kapara, you would not have to bring pesach sheni. Ask the Gemara, Papa, eat an achila. Don't you need achila? The Gemara says, achila lo ma'akva. The dieved, the eating of the korban pesach, does not prevent the kapara, the atonement. B'haksiv ish lefi achlo. Didn't the pasuk say ish lefi achlo? Which seems to say that the point is to eat it. So it seems that it's ma'akev, that if you can't eat the meat, and therefore the korb therefore cannot serve as atonement. So the Gemara says, no, that's la mitzvah, that's la chatchila. Ula'akev lo, you mean it's not ma'akev, it doesn't prevent it? V'hatayim b'michtas, malame she'ena pelch nishchad el limnuyav. The pasuk says b'michtas, that says what, that's the lashon of minyan. And so it comes to teach you that you can only shech the korban pesach for those who were invited to take part of it. Yochol shechto shelo limnuyav. You might think that we shechted for someone who's not part of it, not part of the group. You hate over la mitzvah of a korban, and therefore, if you simply committed a sin in the korban silkasha, tabalomar ish lefi achlo tachosu. But it says tachosu, a cause of shenak olav la'akev. To tell you, the word tachosu is ma'akev. To tell you that the shechita if you have the wrong person who was who shechted it for someone who's not fit, you shechted it for people who are not fit to eat it, who weren't part of the group, then who weren't appointed to eat it, then the korban is pasul. So ve'iskash ochlin li menuyav, and there's a hekesh between the eating and those who are appointed to tell you. So we see from here that if you can't eat it, so then it's ma'akev. So how can you say that if the basar is tameh, then you are then you get kapara if you did it with the eved, and you don't have to bring a second pesach? It seems here that it's ma'akev. So the Gemara says, Ella Rav the Omar ki Rabbi Nasan, Damar Chilas Tzachim L'Ma'akva. So Rav really holds a Rabbi Nasan, who says that eating the Korban Pesach is not Ma'akev, does not prevent Kapar B'di Eved. And the Gemara wants to now figure out, what's this Rav Nasan? Where does he say this Rav Nasan? Where does he say this Halacha? So hi Rav Nasan, what is this Rav Nasan? So he says, Ilema Rabbi Nasan, the time Rabbi Nasan Omer Minayin Shkol Yisrael Yotzim BePesach Echad. How do you know that all of Klal Yisrael can be Yotze with one Korban Pesach, and even though there's not a Kazayas for each one, Tamalom and Shachto also Kol Kala Dasho Ben Arbayim, that the whole Kahal, the whole congregation of Yisrael can shecht it in the afternoon. V'chi Kol Kol Shochtin, there's the whole Tzibor shecht one sheep. Below ain't shochet ella echad. It doesn't only one person shecht it. Ella lamech kol Yisrael yotzei mipesach echad. That all of Klal Yisrael can be yotzei with one animal. And from Rabbi Nosson we see that achila is not ma'akev. Why do we see that achila is not ma'akev? Because with one sheep, not everyone can eat a kazayas. So therefore, we see, and so therefore, you're never going to have anyone eating the right shear. So what do we see from here? That the achil, and yet you can shecht it. So we see the achil is not ma'akev. So dilma shani hasam, the imim shechehani, chazi lahani, imim shechehani, chazi lahani. Then maybe it's different. Because even though the eating of the Korban Pesach is ma'akev, nevertheless, all of Klai Yisrael can be yotzei one korban, because if they, withdraw their hands from eating it, then the Korban Pesach will be fit for some people. And if others sort of withdraw their hands from eating it, then the Pesach will be fit for some. In other words, even though in practice no one withdrew their hold on being part of eating it, and not all of Klal Yisrael can eat it, but nevertheless, the Korban Pesach is fit for everyone. In other words, if I shecht the Korban Pesach for all of Klal Yisrael, it is possible that each person can eat a kazayas if everyone else decides I don't want to eat it. So there is a possibility that every person, not together, not at once, but everyone has. Is it possible that you can eat a kazayas? Yeah. If no one else decides to eat it, it's possible you can eat it. Yeah. If no one else decides to eat it, so there is that possibility. But if the korban is tamei, so that's something different. The korban's tamei, then no one can eat it. So maybe in that case, who says Rav Nosson would say that you achieve kapara. So maybe there's a different Rav Nosson. Eller ha Rav Nosson, the Tanya, we have a different Rav Nosson that we learned about. So nimnu alav chabura achas. Let's say there's one group that was, decided to eat this korban Pesach, and they were appointed for that korban. B'chazu v'nimnu alav chabura acheres. And another group was added to it. Rishonim sheyesh lahem kizayis ochlim upir milasas pesach sheni. The first group that was counted to eat it, so they can eat from this korban pesach. They don't have to eat in the second pesach. And achronim, the second group, since they weren't appointed correctly, because there was already the first sheep was taken. So ein lahem kizayis, because now they're not going to have a kizayis. Ein ochlim v'cheir milasas pesach sheni. They can't eat, and now they have to make a second pesach. Rav Nosson Omer, Eilu Veilu Petur Milasas Pesach Sheni, Shekvar Nizra Kadam. Rav Nosson says, no, even the second group doesn't have to have Pesach Sheni because there was Zrika Sadam. So Gemara says, Akati, Dilma Shani Hosam, Dimim Shechei Chazi Hani, Dimim Shechei Hani Chazi Lhu. So he said, no, even in this case, it's not a proof, because even though eating the Korban Pesach prevents you, if you can't eat the Korban Pesach, then you don't get Kapara. Nevertheless, the second group is Pater from Pesach Sheni. Because even though the first group was already designated for this, for this animal, they still could have said it at the last minute, we don't want to eat it, and then it would be fit for the second group. So even though in practice two groups cannot eat together, there's not enough for each member to eat a kazayas. Nevertheless, there's a possibility the korban pesach will be fit for the second group. So that's different than when the korban pesach becomes tameh. So we still don't have a Rabbi Nosson who Rav would follow. So the Gemara says, "Im kein lisnei ho ruim li mashech, mai shekvar nizor kadam shmamina bedam tayamilsa v'alchil lo ma'akva." Yeah, but the Gemara says, if indeed the reason why the second group will be pater from Pesach Sheni was that the first group could have pulled out, then the Tana should have said that. Should have said that since because he could have pulled out. What does it say? What does the Brisa say? Shekvar nizra kadam, because the blood was already sprinkled. So therefore, it depends on zrika sadam, but not achila. So that's Rabbi Nosson, and Rav is holding like Rabbi Nosson. Now the Gemara is saying, but my ducha the Rav the mukim lo masisin lechatchila, the Rabbi Nosson nukma krabana fil diavad namilo. Why does Rav force to say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Nosson, and that our Mishnah is that he wants to say that our Mishnah is holding that if the baser became tame, you don't do zrikas adam, only lechatchila, and like Rabbi Nosson. There's why is he saying that our Mishnah is only talking about lechatchila? Why isn't he simply say that if the baser became tame, then you cannot then the karban doesn't serve as a as a kapara, even b'di'evet, like the Rabbanan is. Why is he saying, oh, this is only talking about l'chatchila, and I'm following a singular position of Rabbi Nosson? Just explain the Mishnah according to its normal explanation, which is b'di'evet, and say it's like the Rabbanan. So Rav Masnisa Kishisa. The reason is because Rav had difficulty with our Mishnah. Amai Tanan, why did our Mishnah say? Why did our Mishnah say, Ein Zorek Es Adam? It says, don't sprinkle the blood. At least nay, Pasul. The Mishnah said Pasul, which would indicate B'dievet. Elishmamina Lechatchila V'Dievet Shapir. Ein Zorek Lechatchila V'Dievet Shapir Dami. The fact that the Mishnah says, Ein Zorek Es Adam, that implies Lechatchila, don't do it, but B'dievet, it's fine. So Rav is saying, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Nassan, who holds B'dievet, it's fine. Ulu Rabbi Nassan, Ish Lefi Achlo Lomali. Why is, according to Rabbi Nassan, what's the law? Why do we need the pasuk Ish Lefi Achlo? Because if he holds that Achila is not Ma'akiv, you don't need to eat the Korban Pesach, and it's still a chief kaparab. Debeinim Gavad Achazel Achila. What he's saying is, you need someone who is fit to eat it. In other words, that he's saying that even according to Rabbi Nassan, you need a person who's fit to eat the Korban Pesach. That you have to, when you shech the Korban Pesach, it has to be for a person who is fit to eat the Korban Pesach. That you still have to do. But what he's saying, that the achila is not ma'akev, that's referring to if the meat became tameh. But in other words, I still have to shech the Korban Pesach for a person who's going to eat it. If I'm not shechting for anyone, then it's possible. But if I shechted for someone, the meat became tameh, so then the person still achieves kapara. So the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, "Man tana l'ha d'tana rabban shkato la'achlov v'zarku damo shlo la'achlov ha'pesach atzmo kashya v'adam yotzei bechavaso." Who's the Tana who teaches this price that it says the Pesach that you shechted for people who are fit to eat it? And if they, right, but they sprinkled the blood not for the right people, then the Korban Pesach is kosher and a person is yotzei his obligation. Kiman, name it Rav Nosson. This is like Rav Nosson, not lo Rabbanan, not the Rabbanan. So this works out well, right? Because you shechted it for someone who eats it, and the Zrika was bad, but it's fine. As long as the Shechita was good, then it's okay. Gemara says, no. I feel a tamer rabban, even say the rabban on a machshavas oflim mizrika. You can still say that if you had the wrong intent when it comes to zrika sadam, we don't care. And so far as it passes the korban, what we care is your intent when you shech the korban pesach. The Gemara now says man tana laha the tana rabban on hareisha haya chola bishashchita. Who's the author? The Brisa says that let's say that there is someone, one of the people who was appointed to the Korban Pesach, who was sick at the time of Shechita, v'cholim, and he got healthy b'shas zrika. Then he got, and he wasn't fit to eat the Korban Pesach when they shechted the Korban Pesach, but now he's healthy at the time of zrika, or cholim b'shas Shechita, v'cholim b'shas zrika, or he was healthy at the time of Shechita and he was not healthy at the time of zrika. Ain shoftim v'zorkim alav. We don't do Shechita or zrika for him. Achi cholim b'shas Shechita b'shas zrika. That the person for whom you need to shech the Korban Pesach has to be healthy both at the time of Shechita and at the time of Zrika. Kiman neimar Rabbanan hi v'lo Rabbi Nassan. Let's say that this is the Rabbanan, not Rabbi Nassan. Because why? Because Rabbi Nassan holds that we only care about Shechita and not about Zrika. No, afilu tamer Rabbi Nassan gavet chazi l'chil b'ina. No, Rabbi Nassan could still hold that you need the person for whom you are shechting has to be fit for eating both at the time of Shechita and at the time of Zrika. But you need. But once you have that, then he doesn't actually need to eat it if the korban became possible. One more. Mantana. Mantana. Lahadetad Rabbanon. Who's the author of that which the rabbi say, Shchatu bitara v'achakach nitmu ba'alim yizro kadam bitara v'ayech al basar bituma. The Brisa says that if you shech the korban when you were tahor, the korban was tahor, and then before zrika sadam, the owners became tameh, then we say what? Nevertheless, you should sprinkle the blood, bitara, have kohanim sprinkle the blood, okay? And don't eat the meat, bituma. So again, what happened? Everything was good, everything was glad kosher, everyone was tahor, they shechted the animal. and then the Kohen's about to sprinkle the blood, and the owners became tamei. The owners of the meat became tamei. So who? And then we say, you know what? Sprinkle the blood, but don't eat the korban. Come on, Amar Rabbi Lazar, the machlokes shnuya, the Rabbi Nasan. He. This is Rabbi Nasan who says again, the achila is not ma'akev. So therefore, we don't care if the owners are tahor during the zrika sadam. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar filo tamer rabbanon. No, even rabbanon can hold like this. Hacha b'mayaskine. What are we talking about here in the brisa? Bitzibur that filu bituma nami avde. That by the tzibur, if the tzibur became tamei, so therefore, let's say for example, if a nasi died, it's very hard to imagine. The nasi died, and everyone now is involved in burying him. So even bituma we do it. So the brisa is only talking about bituma, the tzibur. So if that's the case, if it's a tzibur, so why do we say that the meat cannot be eaten? We know that the Korban Pesach is eaten bituma if there's a tzibur. So gzeira shema yitamu ha-ba'alim lachar zrika, because we say you can't eat the meat even though the tzibur became tamei. We're concerned that maybe the next year the owners will become tamei after the zrika, and yomu meshtaka lo nitamu v'chanu. Last year they're going to say that we weren't tamei, weren't we tamei, and we ate the Korban Pesach. Hashanami, last year they're going to say we weren't tamei, we ate the Pesach. Hashanami, also, Necho, let's also eat. If lo yadei deshtaka ki yizdrik dam, ba'am tameim havu, hashta ba'am tohom havu. That, what were they going to say? They're going to say, in other words, if the tzibur becomes tamei, if the tzibur becomes tamei before zrika, they really should all be allowed to eat it. But what's going to happen? Next year, they're going to become tamei after zrika, and they're going to say, oh, just like last year we were allowed to eat it, so this year we are also allowed to eat it. But no, last year you became tamei when? Before zrika sadam. So tumah hutra b'tzibur. Now, it's after zrika sadam, and therefore they were tahor, and therefore, since it was brought and sprinkled b'tara, so no longer are you allowed to eat it bituma. So, okay. So, one more line. V'ibayisema, next Amun, Rav da Amar ki Rabbi Yoshua. And perhaps you can also say that Rav, who, this is another topic, and we'll stop here, and God will continue tomorrow. Okay, everyone have a great day.